This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Lawmakers voted to override Governor Mike Dunleavy's $444 million in budget vetoes, 37-1, but it was not enough. The law requires 45 legislatures for an override, and only 38 showed up in a special joint session in Juneau. The rest were in Wasilla, aligned with Dunleavy, or absent. Lawmakers from both political parties argued passionately against the budget vetoes. Senator Lyman Hoffman and Representative Tiffany Zolkuski, both Bethel Democrats from the Yukon Kuskokwim Delta, were there, and both voted against Dunleavy's vetoes. Senator Hoffman says the legislature has already reduced the budget by more than $1 billion.
The vetoes that this governor has represented in his goal to try to streamline government are ill-advised.
Hoffman is also the new Senate Majority Leader after Senate President Kathy Geisel stripped Senator Mia Costello, an Anchorage Republican, of that title when she failed to show up in Juneau this week. Hoffman also took Costello's place on the Rules Committee and Committee on Committees. Tiffany Zolkuski from the House Majority says her constituents have among the state's highest cost of living and lowest incomes per capita.
It has been said that a budget is a moral document, and I find the budget vetoes totally unconscionable, as had been said earlier today. And I am very proud today to vote to override the governor's damaging vetoes.
The legislature has until Friday to override the governor, but it's unclear if all the lawmakers will be in one place to make that decision. And in more budget news, the University of Alaska stands to lose $134 million in state funding if Governor Mike Dunleavy's line item vetoes are not overturned by legislatures by Friday. After the legislature failed to override the vetoes yesterday, UA President Jim Johnson said that the UA Board of Regents will meet on Monday to discuss the option of financial exigency.
Nobody, any employee at the University of Alaska is safe in that sense. I'm certainly not, and nor is anyone else per se. Financial exigency gives us the contractual ability to lay off tenured faculty and others in an expedited manner.
Johnson says layoffs would have been expected even under the $5 million proposed cut from the legislature. Johnson anticipates about 2,000 layoffs under the governor's vetoes. The university has already sent furlough notices to 2,500 staff and faculty. In addition to layoffs, Johnson says campus closures are a possibility, as well as closing and consolidating programs.
We're looking at programs and colleges and schools where we have more than one of them. You know, so if we have two colleges of fill-in-the-blank, do we eliminate one of them and go with one? Those are all options on the table.
Governor Dunleavy's vetoes have also raised concerns over campus academic accreditation. Earlier this week, the Northwest Commission on Colleges and Universities wrote a letter to the legislature stating that the governor's vetoes run the risk of diminishing the quality of education and jeopardizing the university's chances of reaccreditation. Johnson acknowledged the risk.
It is a risk that we are going to do almost everything we can to avoid.
There is still a chance that lawmakers will reconvene in Juneau to vote on overriding the vetoes again. And finally, for many people living along the lower Yukon River, commercial fishing is their primary income. But after the Yukon summer chum salmon arrived late and weak this year, the fishing season that just started is about to come to an end. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports.
The summer chum run doesn't last long, about a month and a half, from early June to mid-July. During that time, over 1.2 million chum salmon swim up the Yukon River. Fishermen usually start selling their catches that first week of June, with openings occurring almost daily. This year, that didn't happen. Instead, commercial openings started in July, less than 2 weeks before the season ends. Here's why. For most of the summer chum run tracked below the notorious chum crash in 2000. The run didn't start building in any significant way until late June, and then it shot up, high enough to finally, in early July, allow for commercial harvest. But for many commercial fishermen, it was too late. They can't afford to fish.
We don't go firefighting, we don't have tourism, we don't have mining. All we have is our commercial fishery.
John Lamont lives in Amonok and spoke on a fishery teleconference earlier this week. By that point, commercial fishermen had had only four openings to catch and sell chum salmon.
We always use that economic benefit to maintain our way of life. This summer, with four openings and very few fishermen going out there, there's going to be a lot of hurt.
To alleviate that hurt, managers are changing the rules. There's enough surplus summer chum salmon in the Yukon River for fishermen to sell hundreds of thousands of them. But with a month and a half long fishing season reduced to less than 2 weeks, there's no way they'll be able to harvest all that surplus. But on the other hand, with most of the king salmon already upriver, managers are allowing commercial fishermen to use gill nets during these openings instead of just dip nets and beach seines. And any king salmon caught in those nets can be sold along with the chum. This is big. King salmon were sold for one day in 2017. Before that, it hadn't happened since 2010. For decades, the Yukon River has been under tight restrictions to rebuild its king salmon population through both its American and Canadian tributaries. An international treaty sets the total number of kings that can be caught in both countries. This summer, the river saw its highest king run in 5 years. A sign of progress. Now that king run in the lower Yukon is coming to an end. Biologists estimate about 95% of kings have passed through the lower river. Research shows that the kings headed all the way to Canada are the first to swim up the Yukon, and any kings in the lower river this late in the season are bound for U.S. waterways. So managers say that selling the kings caught in commercial chum gear will not hurt the run of king salmon swimming up the Yukon to Canada. They estimate only a few hundred kings would be sold at most. Also, kings sell for significantly more than chums. The opportunity will give fishermen in the lower Yukon a chance to earn a little extra cash. Many will need it. Managers are already expecting a weak fall chum run to follow. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for news in Yukton coming up.